Well, good afternoon, everyone. I think it's been a little while since we've been here and I've gotten to speak. I think the last time I spoke was a sermonette, but it is good to be here. Maybe not on these circumstances, but it is good to be here. But all things are good. And like Mr. Sergeant brought out, that things are doing well with Alyssa. She's healing, seems fairly quickly, and we're so glad of that and glad of the circumstances and glad the outcome of that biopsy that she had. I do send greetings from all of the brethren in Salt Lake City and Grand Junction. They don't know any of you probably. Maybe you've met them at a feast or two, but they send their greetings and their love to everyone up here. But it's interesting sometimes as human beings when we all are going through our lives, how we can get involved in some of the negative things, some of the negative things that happen to each one of us. And it's a very human thing, isn't it? Very human for us to get involved in some of the things that happen to us in our lives, whether that's in our work, that's in our families, that's in our jobs, various things. And yet those of us here in God's church, or those that are in God's church, have some insight that God has given to us. Insight that we have of not just things now, but happen, that things are, that are coming in our future. Things that we should be very grateful of, you know. Not because who we are, not because of where we are, but because God has called us, God has given us His Holy Spirit, and God is directing us through that Holy Spirit. He's guiding us and directing us and helping us look at life, look to the future. And though this world is very pessimistic, this world is very negative, we say that all around us all the time, we have to be positive, don't we? We have to be positive about this life. And so we're here this afternoon, I think, on a very special day from the standpoint that it's a Sabbath. You know, God gives us a Sabbath day, and it's a very beautiful day. Not in that it's just the Sabbath, but it's a beautiful day for what it pictures for you and me, and for what it pictures for each one of us as we live out through the future. And not just for us again, but for all of mankind. The Sabbath is a wonderful day, and yet we can walk around outside around in the malls and around in the parks and things like that, and people will be out there and think, you know, don't even think about the Saturday. You know, they just think it's another day. They don't know that it's the Sabbath. You know, and what you and I refer to it as being. And maybe even further beyond that, they're probably thinking, you know what? What are those crazy people doing anyway going to church on Saturday? I've heard that a time or two, probably in the time that I've been in the church. But you know that the message God gives you and me, the message that we all hear from every Sabbath day throughout the year at the Holy Days is a very positive one, very meaningful one, very one that's optimistic that we have to look forward to. And we know that God is a very optimistic God, and He wants the best for each one of us. And you and I, again, have been given some of that insight, some of the insight that He has shared with us about what we're going to be in His kingdom, right? We're going to be kings and priests. We're going to be His children. We're going to be part of the family of God. And that should be something that's so positive that it should really remove all the negatives. But again, we're human, aren't we? We have those things happen. Things are not always positive in our lives. But we're in the world. We rub shoulders with it. We see it happen all the time. So it's hard. We actually take on that pessimistic approach, don't we? Because we're rubbing shoulders with these people every day of our lives. And yet we can come here on a Sabbath day and we can hear positive messages, positive things that are for each one of us because of the knowledge God has given to us. You know, I want to talk about these two words here and look at Webster's dictionary or his definition here in the dictionary of optimism and being a pessimist. So an optimist is one who believes that things happen for the best or who looks on the brighter side of things. I think probably most of us would fall into that category. I'd hope that most of us fall into that category. But then we have the definition of pessimist, or a pessimist is one who considers life evil, who looks on the worst side of things, always finding fault, always finding something wrong. Now, I'm sure that we all know people in that category. And maybe all of us have been in that situation a time or two in our lives. I know I have. Things happen in our lives and we can get down. We can get to be very negative. We can be very pessimistic. Well, I'm going to go through a story. I'm going to talk about the story. I'm going to use these two subjects, an optimist and a pessimist. And this story that I'm going to tell you is very short, but many of you probably already know the story. You've probably heard it because it's a very old story. So Mr. Sargent surely knows this. But there was these several doctors, and they were going to do a test. And so what they do is they put two boys in a room. Okay, in this room, there was nothing except a big pile of horse manure. So they put the first boy in that room, and he started crying, and he started, "The smell, this is terrible." You know, he went to a corner and just started screaming, "Let me out of here." That's a pessimist. That's what a pessimist does. Well, then they put the second boy in the room, and the little boy looked at that big pile of horse manure, and his eyes got big, and he started digging, and he started throwing that manure everywhere. And he said, they could hear him through the speakers in the room, he says, "There's got to be a pony in here." So we have the optimist. That's the difference when you think about those stories. You know, put yourself in that place. Are you the little boy who cried and screamed because it smelled and it stunk and it was just very uncomfortable? Maybe his eyes burned. Or are you the person digging for the pony? Are you looking for the pony? So that's the question I want to ask is, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? And if you want a title for the sermon, you can say, how to be an optimist in a pessimistic world. How to be an optimist in a pessimistic world. But the one thing that we all can fall back on and we all can realize is that God is very optimistic. God is not a negative God. Nothing that he gives us, nothing that he tells us, nothing that he talks about is negative. It's all positive. And he's very uplifting. I'd like to begin returning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, and Mr. Sargent brought up Paul. We're going to use Paul as an example a little bit today, because he's got a lot of good examples for us to glean from. So, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We're going to look at some encouraging words, I believe, that Paul here uses for each one of us that we can take from. Philippians 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So we see right there when we're reading that there is nothing negative in those words. Nothing at all. But we can go back historically. Look in the Bible, we can look at, you know, some of the things that happened with Paul and maybe several other of the apostles, but really at that time, back at their time, was anything really different than it is now? I mean, they still had earthquakes, they still had floods, they still had fires, they still had sickness and death and diseases. Everything that we have now. Everything. And we're confronted with some of those things daily. We have those things show up daily in our lives. But we have to look at what God looks on these things. How does God look on these things? And how should we look on these things as God's children? Because he doesn't look at it in a negative way, does he? He looks at it a very positive way. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Because Paul here is going to remind us how optimistic God really is. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I mean, how incredibly optimistic is that? God wants all men, not just us. I mean, we're being called now, we're his first fruits. But he wants all men on the face of this earth at some point to come to God's knowledge, to the knowledge of the truth of God, to understand what God's message is about, what God's kingdom is about, what he has in store for all human beings. And he desires that all man comes to that point to realize that and embrace his ways, his laws, to live those in our lives. And we're also told in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you turn there, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, what an incredibly optimistic outlook that God has. He wants this for all mankind, for every one of us. He doesn't want anyone to end up on the wrong side of that track, if I can use it that way. And we see that happening on the world around us, don't we? On the wrong side of the tracks, on the wrong side of the equation, heading down the wrong road. God wants us on the right side of the road. And that Sabbath day that we talk about this day represents that, a time of rest. A time of rest for you and I, but a time of rest for all mankind. And it's an incredible story, and it's an understanding that we should be so privileged and so optimistic that we have, that we understand these things. So today I want to go through some points, and I'll just tell you off the bat, this was a 10-point sermon at one point. I have cut it drastically for today, but I try to keep the best points. Anyway, so it's going to be, I won't tell you how many points, because then you're not counting time. But anyway, we're going to go through several points to talk about how we can be more optimistic. How can we be more optimistic as God's children, God's people in this pessimistic world? Because we know as things go on, as things move on through society and things happen to us in our lives, there's some very negative things on their way, isn't there? There's some very bad things on the horizon that are going to come. And God tells us that we're to be optimists. We're to be positive. Now, I want to say at the onset as well that I'm not saying that you come in and you're all positive, and even though things are going bad in your life, that you say, well, I've got to be positive. That's not what I'm saying. When we get through that, we'll talk more about that. God says, yes, you're going to have things happen in your life. You're going to have bad things happen in your life, but he wants you to be more positive. I mean, he doesn't want those to affect you in a negative way. He wants you to be more positive and look at what God has. I mean, and if you think about it, everything that we have and all we are, God says you're going to be his children. What more positive thing is there than that? I mean, this life is temporary. This life is physical. Things are going to happen. We're all going to die. But we have God's future to look forward to, our future. And so that's the thing I want to really emphasize through this, is that everything that we have, that we know, that we understand, is positive. It should be uplifting. It should be encouraging to us. So the first point I want to give you is to be strong so that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. Be strong so that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. You know, as a Christian, isn't that something that you and I pray for? That we should be praying for, not just for ourselves, but also maybe for others, for our family members. I mean, if you think about it, doesn't this world need peace of mind? It certainly does. Let's look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, just a few chapters ahead of where Mr. Sargent was. Romans chapter 8, we're going to be beginning in verse 38. But we know that through the only way that you and I are going to have peace of mind is to dwell on God's law, to dwell on God's way of life, the things that we need to be doing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How is that for being positive? How is that for being optimistic? You know, we could all go through some of the things that Paul went through, and all of us here probably have read and heard many stories about Paul and what he did and what he went through. And, you know, and he was a man of this world, wasn't he? And he not only had the writings, but he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. I know there's two different ways. I say it one way and sometimes I say it the other way, but anyway, hopefully everybody knows that. Gamaliel. Is that right? Gamaliel. But he was a man that God allowed to go through many things, many hurts, many pains, sufferings, all these things in his life. And he kept God in mind always, didn't he? He moved forward. He didn't let those things bring him down to get off the path, to get off the track. So we have to, as the first point said, be strong so that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. Point number two. Talk healthy, happiness, or I should say talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet. Talk health, happiness, and prosperity to everyone you meet. You know, there's so many times that we get together as church, right? Church family. We're all a part of the family of God. And we may say to someone another before services, hey, how are you doing? How are things going in your life? Well, you know, I've got this pain, or I've got this certain thing happening to me. I mean, I've done that, right? No, none of us is perfect. Some of us fall off the trail once in a while. You know what? You know, I've got this problem. I've got the kids. I've got the car. I got, you know, the house. I mean, you have all these things in life that you're getting pummeled with. But you know, we're not to upload those things. God says we're to come and be positive in front of our brothers and sisters and not upload those things. Be positive about them. Not bring the negative. And again, I'm not saying that those things don't happen. They happen in all of our lives. But if we're to be brothers and sisters helping one another, uplifting one another, we need to bring the positiveness of what's going on. And if it happens, it doesn't hurt to talk about it either, does it? We can talk about it and maybe they can help us. You know, one of the things that I've learned, I went to a funeral, not a funeral home, that'd be a nursing home. And I went there to hopefully uplift somebody, to encourage them. And you know what? I left being more encouraged than I went, was going to do for them. I mean, we can do that. It doesn't matter your situation. We can be helpful and uplifting to one another, no matter what's going on in our lives. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to uplift one another. And so that's where talking happiness, prosperity, health. How much do you strive to live by that point? How much do any of us do that? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 19, again, Paul's admonishing us here. It says, speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That goes along with that second point, doesn't it? God goes on to tell us in Colossians chapter 3. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 3. Just up a few pages, at least in my Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's very positive. Very encouraging. You know, God knew the society that we were going to grow up in. He knew the society that each one of us were going to be living in. He understands the things that are going on in our lives. And especially as we get closer to the end, as I brought up. He understands how things are going to get. And yet, in spite of all those things, all this pessimism that's out there that exists in our land, in our society, and in this world, God requires us to be optimistic. Regardless of how bad it may be. Because tomorrow is always another better day, isn't it? Tomorrow is a better day. Things will change. And again, we know there's going to be suffering. We know there's going to be things that happen in our lives. And I'm not saying, trying to diminish those in any way or form. It does happen. But we know the end result. When we think about that, we know what it is we're here for. We understand God's laws. We understand God's way of life. And he wants us to be optimistic. Because we know, I mean, you know the end. Right? We know the end of the story, if you want to say it that way. So are we going to be an inspiration to people? Or are we going to be a desperation to people? That's kind of why God wants us to look at it. How are we dealing with one another? How are we helping one another? Let's go on to point number three. Point number three. Be as an enthusiastic about others' success as you are about your own. Be as an enthusiastic about others' success as you are about your own. You know, can you do that? I ask myself, can I do that? You know, we may fall short at times. We may not, as they say, cut the mustard. But we should, it's something that we should shoot for. It's something that we should all get excited about. Well, you got a better job. Hey, you got a new car. You got a brand new house. That's great. That's awesome. That's wonderful. I'm glad you could do that. Instead of maybe something like, you know, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they got everything. I mean, you know, I worked as hard as that guy does. And I didn't get any of those things. We can get into that position, can't we? But we should be happy for them. Do we look at the negative things? Do we look at the negative things? Be excited. Be enthusiastic for others as you are for yourself. It will go a long way. Not just for you, but for them. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. The body, that's us here today. No schism, nothing negative, nothing going on. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Yes, we are members individually. We are that. But we're also members of the body of Christ. Each one of us, brothers and sisters, and we're here today excited because of the calling that God has given to us, because of the Sabbath day, the day of rest, something that everyone in this world will get a chance to know and get a chance to see. Because, you know, the longer that we're in the church, if we're not careful, we can take that for granted. We can take what God has given to us for granted, and we can become pessimistic. We can become negative. And we can forget about the promises that he offers to each one of us. God has some incredible promises. Sermon's not on that today, but incredible promises. And you have to begin to look at those. You have to begin to focus on those and not the things that are going on, even though they come up in our lives, to move forward. That's what you and I have been called to do as God's family. We've been given the understanding. And so we've got to continue on that path and be positive for all those around us. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. This is still with point number three, because Paul goes on to tell us here in verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Again, those are beautiful additions that we can add to this as well. You know, we all know that God's word stands sure. God stands sure, and he is the first and foremost thing in our life. He should be. Let's go to point number four. Point number four. I call this the big one. didn't mention this in my first one, but forget the mistakes of the past. Forget the mistakes of the past. Be nice to do that, wouldn't it? Be nice if we could forget. But that God calls on us to do that. You know, we all sometimes walk around with those gashes in our cortex, in our minds. Things that have happened to us that, you know, weren't very pleasant. Maybe they were mistakes that we made years and years ago. Maybe they were, you know, things that we said to someone. Maybe they were how we treated someone. But these are things that are back here. And if we don't allow God or Jesus Christ to help us get rid of those things. Through His blood, cleanse us. And we're the ones that are stopping it. Not God, not Jesus Christ. We're holding back. And we have to be able to allow Him to do that. That's what we learned at the Passover. Right? We learned that at the Passover, to allow God and the blood of Jesus Christ in us to get past those things. So we got to move past the mistakes and look onto the greater achievements, things that we have learned, things that we're, maybe where we have gone. Maybe what's happened from last year to this year. Maybe the growth that we've had. We look at the positive achievements that we've made in the Church of God. Because what we're talking about here is talking about you and it's talking about me. We all have things that happened in our past. We know that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Back to Philippians. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Again, Paul speaking. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, why is it so hard for us as human beings to do that? And all of us, I mean me. Forgetting those things that have happened in the past. You know, I've told people in our congregation, I said, you know what? The past isn't what defines you. The past isn't what should define you. You should be forgetting about those things and moving toward the future goal of God that God gives us, and let that define who you are, how you live, what you're going to be. And this is what Paul says. He says, I forget those things. I move forward to the goal, to the kingdom of God. You know, we understand Paul really created some havoc for God's people, didn't he? He really created a lot of problems, you know, and he was given a free hand by the Roman government to what? Bring those people back in chains, those who kept the Sabbath, the holy days, all those things. He brought them back in chains. You know, and it talks about in Hebrews, how they were treated, these people. You know, some of them, you know, they were fed to the lions. Some of them, they were used as target practice by the gladiators. Some of them were pulled apart by horses or elephants or wild animals. I mean, these are some of the things that Paul brought them back to be, have this done to them. And they were treated in the worst way that probably a human being could be treated. But yet, Paul was involved in that. Let's go on to verse 15. But he says here, forgetting those things which that were behind. Those were things in his past. Yes, they were terrible, they were horrific, but he says, forgetting those things and reaching forward to the things that are ahead. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, he says, I press forward toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So God is going to show you, God is going to instruct you on the way that we should be. You know, if any of us falls into that category, if any of us has those things going on, you know, we want it brought to our attention, don't we? I mean, we're all brothers and sisters. We want to, I mean, in the right way. In the right way, we don't want to be doing it in the wrong way and bringing somebody down, but we do it in the right way, and we want it brought to our attention so we can change, so we can move forward, so we can become what God wants us to be. And these are points that God's people, we all should be striving for. trying to decide if I should cut another point or... Let's go to point number 5. Let's do that. Mr. Sargent actually said I could go as long as I wanted, so... Not really. Point number 5. Wear a cheerful countenance. Wear a cheerful countenance. You know, when you come to church, you know, how are you doing today? How was your week? You know, wear a cheerful... Sometimes we come in, I'll admit, I've been there myself, you don't even talk, do you? Somebody says something, you're just like, yeah. Or you give them the nod, you give them those kind of things, and you can tell. When I walk in, it's like, oh, he's had a bad week. Maybe I won't go talk to him today. We have to put on a smile. You know, again, you're coming to before God on the Sabbath day with your brothers and sisters. Wear a smile. You know, even though if you had a blowout on the way here, you know, whatever it is, wear a smile. I'm not saying be fake. Don't just come in thinking, oh, I have to be positive. You know, oh, Mr. Wynot said that, you know, whatever happened, I've got to be positive. That's not what I'm talking about. Right? We're here with others, so we wear a cheerful countenance. We smile. And you ever notice when you come into a room and you see somebody off on the other side of the room and they're big smile on their face? Do you walk up and just, I mean, you can't help but smile. I mean, it's contagious, kind of like leaven. It spreads, right? It's contagious. That's what people want. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, how optimistic and how positive are we about the way the world is? There's not a lot of positive to talk about this world, about what's going on. But how positive are we about it? About the effects later on, about where we're headed. You know, you don't have to look too far to find fault. You don't have to look too far before you find the negative things. We can all find negative things. I mean, if I was asked my wife, you know, let's make a list of the negative and positive things about me, I'm sure the negative list would outdo the positive list. I mean, I'm not saying that, but isn't that true if you think about it? We all can do the negative things. But the positive ones, that's a little harder. But that's what God wants us to be putting into our minds, looking at towards those things. You know, when we talk about Paul, let's actually go to Philippians chapter 4. Just over. You know, Paul here, again, we just went through what he did. He led these people to have these things done to them. These are bad things. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, he goes on to say, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now your last care for me has flourished again. You know, so that means at one time, their care didn't flourish in the people, right? They didn't care. At one time. You know, can you imagine Paul preaching in this church or a certain congregation or somebody's house and that person that's sitting there, his family, his parents have been killed by Paul? Can you imagine being there? Sitting there as Paul's up there talking to you. You know, he brought them in chains. He did all these terrible things to these people. And this person up there, out there, saying, you know, that guy took my family and killed them. And there was hurtful feelings. We're human. That's what we'd have. Maybe we'd be in that same boat. We wouldn't be thinking very positive things to that person or about that person. But he's up there preaching. But he could do this because God gave him this style of preaching, the way to get across to them, the things that he preached, how he preached. And God worked with him. God was helping him and telling them these things. Let's read verse 10 again here. It says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state that I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everything, everywhere, in all things, I have learned to both be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, obviously, none of us has ever gone through some of the things Paul went through. Probably you never will go some of the things that Paul's went through. And I'm not trying to compare you with Paul, because everyone here has probably gone through some terrible things in their lives. But I'm trying to get across is that Paul went through these things and he said, I put that in the past. I put those, and I don't look back at those things. I go forward. I look to the future. Paul went through both sides of the spectrum. All things in his life. And he paid the consequences, didn't he? He paid the consequences with his life. So we shouldn't we all say, as it says in verse 13 here, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? We can do all things. You know, we come together on God's Sabbath. We meet with one another. We talk with one another. We expound on what has been said on the Bible study or on the sermon. And we talk and we bring those things out and we do as it says in Proverbs. Iron sharpening iron. Right? That's what we're to do. Sharpen one another's sword. It works both ways. Right? It works both ways for all of us. That's why our fellowship, that's why coming here on a Sabbath day is so important. That's why we're commanded to come and fellowship together. To help one another, to build one another. We're going to one more point. Last point, we'll say. Last point. Spend the time improving yourself so you don't have time to criticize others. Spend the time improving yourself so you don't have time to criticize others. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And look at what Christ tells us here. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, the plank is still in your own eye? You hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So the admonition that we have here is to become perfect, right? Perfection. Spiritually mature is what we're really being told here. To see all the good in the thing, and even all the bad things that are around us, to see the good things. So we're to arise above that. We're to arise above those things. And we're to be able to get to that point where we know that we serve God, and God has promised us, and He's called us, He's given us all these things, and He wants us to do this. He wants us to be positive. He wants us to be enthusiastic. You know, not being given in the, you know, times of trouble, not giving up, but to continue moving forward. And if we look at those things, we've got a long way to go, don't we? We've got a long way to go, even in our optimism, even in being positive. Let's close by turning to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I hope that some of these points have been good for you. I hope they've been uplifting. I hope they've been positive, because I think that if we put these more into our lives and we use them and live by them, that we can live a more positive life. We can be more enthusiastic and we can be more of an optimist than a pessimist. Here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Paul here summarizes what a Christian approach should be, what our approach should be. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we all are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, building one up, lifting one up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Those are some really beautiful words. Very encouraging words that we can all live by. When we can all read them. We can all even probably quote them. We've heard them probably so much. But do we live by them? That's the question we all have to ask ourselves. Do we live by those words? Because these are points that you and I should live by. These are points that we should strive to have in our lives through Bible study, through prayer, through living God's way of life. And not just today, not just tomorrow, not just next week, but through the rest of our lives. In all that we do. You know, God has called us. He has given us the knowledge of His plan. He wants us to look on the bright side of things. He wants us to look forward, to be uplifting, to be positive, and have an optimistic mind. He reveals to us through His Word some tremendous promises. I mean, there's just nothing more positive than those promises He gives to us and what our future holds. Brethren, God wants us to be optimistic in this pessimistic and to this pessimistic world. We have to be the positive ones. We have to have the positive frame of mind. And brethren, we can. We can. Because we can do all things with Christ who strengthens us.